100% my prayer. Nothing else but the Lord in my life.
Amen.
No more distractions.
Yes.
Now we get to hear the word.
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Sing, fill the bowl.
Thank you.
present to musicians who would go to their seats. Amen. Nothing like being in the presence of God, feeling that pull of God on your heart. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I tell you what, I know, like the scripture says, come and taste of the Lord and see that he's good. So once you take a good taste of the Lord, you know what's the best thing in the world, and that's his presence. And so happy to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. We just thank the Lord for his goodness. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us this morning. I can say that Satan fought my rest all night last night, so I really didn't get much rest. He just interrupted my time of trying to sleep and rest for the whole evening and all night. And then just a little before service, my wife's on the way to church and tells me that, you know, that something's wrong with the car. So I take that as being enemy distraction.
Yeah.
And so, but we'll put those things to the side, and we're going to give time to the Lord and to the Word first, and knowing that he'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
Yep. So we certainly want to do that. I would like to ask you to be sure and be in prayer for Brother Daniel's trip coming up. He'll be leaving March the 14th and coming back the 22nd, right? And so I would like for us just to remain in prayer for the trip, for the meetings he'll have, but also be in prayer for Brother Daniel, because I know that he's preparing himself for that trip, both physically and spiritually. He's consecrating himself for that trip because he wants to maximize what the Lord can do.
Yeah.
And that's what we want also. And so part of being good stewards of God's, the money that's given into the missions program is not just on how you spend it. It's literally the spending, but it can be a lot of things. So
yes.
We certainly want to be in prayer for Brother Daniel and for the trip coming up. I know that God will move, and so we're certainly looking forward to that. And we just ask that you would be in prayer for that. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Acts chapter 15. You pray for me. I'm just a little bit, for some reason, a little bit short-winded this morning. But we'll just leave that in the hands of the Lord. Acts chapter 15, and I think we'll begin reading at verse 7. Now, this is the place in the scriptures where the early church is trying to decide exactly what to tell the Gentile churches. Because the Jewish people believe you got to be circumcised and you got to follow the law of Moses and all that. But God is starting to pour out his spirit upon the Gentiles, and they're not circumcised at all. And so it created a big stir among the church. And so they came together to discuss this matter. And this, we're getting in the middle of this discussion here as we read this. So when there had been much disputing, so they actually were actually having some pretty good disputes about what was right on this. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And he's talking about when he took it to Cornelius. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, talking about Cornelius' house and him and his household. God bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, remember they were trying to say, well, we need to tell the Gentiles they got to keep the law of Moses and they got to be circumcised. That's what they were wanting to do, the Jewish church. And they were disputing. And so now they've come to this conclusion here. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitudes kept silence and gave audience as Barnabas and Paul declared what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, you know, a wife takes the husband's name, right? And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. So there it is again, the Gentiles. He's going to go to the Gentiles to take a people for his name, right? Of whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And we say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our hearts together as we get ready to come into the service. Lord Jesus, we just want to just take this time, Lord, and every resource that we have this morning, both as a speaker and here, give it to you, Lord, that you could use it for your glory, that your people would be edified, that we would be drawn closer to you, drawn closer to each other. Lord, that our pathway and our job and responsibility here in this last day as your elect bride would become even more and more clear. And so we ask God this morning, Lord, that you would further us in the revelation, further us in our walk, not just in mental knowledge or head knowledge, and not just in revelation knowledge, but just, Lord, actually in our walk, could we be advanced further, Lord, into this kingdom that we love and have burning within our hearts. We ask God that you'd help us with these things and anoint us, bless us today with these words that we'll cover, and just ask that your anointing be upon them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. And I'm going to title this today, The Bride's Perfection. The Bride's Perfection. So, we pointed out there in the scriptures, I already mentioned it, but I'll mention it again real quick so that that you'll understand what I'm wanting you to remember there. That he says in scriptures, and we know, as Brother Branham brought this out very clearly, that God would visit the Gentiles to take out people for his name. So that would be the bride of Christ. The other thing I wanted to point out of that, out in that scripture there, it ends by saying, known unto God, and he's talking about visiting the Gentiles. You got to think about it, in that hour, whenever it was all Jewish, and then here comes God, and he's going to give something to the Gentiles, and he's bringing forth a mystery that the Gentiles is going to be the people he would go to pick up a people for his name. He wasn't going to get that out of the Jewish people so much, but he was going to get that from a Gentile people. And so this revelation was coming forth. And so this was like, as it was breaking forth upon the church, this must have been a tremendous thing because it was a mystery. And all of a sudden, God is now telling this mystery. He's actually vindicating this by pouring out the Holy Ghost upon the Gentiles and showing that, hey, I'm going to be found among them too. And not just some great move that was happening, but actually went back to the scriptures and said, hey, this is written. This is the way it's going to be. The word said this was going to happen. So that's why we can always know that when something happens in our day, we got to go back to check the scriptures and see if the scriptures said it would be this way.
Yeah.
So even in the apostles' time, they did this very thing. They found out that it was scriptural, that God was going to pour out his spirit upon the Gentiles. But it ended, the reading we just had there, it ended saying, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So they're just declaring there that God knew exactly what he was going to do. Before the world was, he knew that he was going to pour out his spirit upon the Gentiles and pick a people out of the Gentiles to be the bride of Christ. And so we want to talk tonight about the bride's perfection. And so so God has provided for the bride of Christ her perfection, and he's done so from the beginning. I want to read a quote before we get too far down the line. Christ the mystery. Brother Bram's talking about what God had, the instruction that had been given Eve. He said, he told Eve, don't do this and don't do that, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And Satan said, oh, you know. So you know how the devil is, right? And he said, but she turned and she listened to him. She listened to the devil. But the Eve of the last day is not going to do it. He didn't say maybe. He said, she's not going to do it. Because she is predestinated not to do it. Yes, sir, God's going to do it. He knows. He'll have, he said, His church would be without spot or wrinkle, and she's going to stand there in the splendor of Him. Word made manifest. So she's going to be there. He's going to have a bride. She's going to come from the Gentile people, and she's going to stand there in the splendor of the Word, the splendor of His presence. And so that's what we're all looking for. Brother Tim mentioned a while ago, he said that's the exact desire of his heart. And everything else be put aside.
Yeah.
That's the focus of the bride. That's what I will tell you. If God's speaking to your heart at all, He's asking you to narrow down all of your everything and let Him be first. That's what He's asking. That's the Spirit's call right now. It has been for quite some time. So we know that. So we're going to talk about these things. I'm going to ask that you forgive me because I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning reading. And I know that reading a lot can be rather laborious. But I pray that you'll be caught up into the spirit of what we want to share this morning, and so then it wouldn't be laborious to you if you understand what I'm saying. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and it's His Spirit that quickens the Word to us. So we know that we're at harvest time. Okay, and harvest time is at the end of the whole cycle, right?
Right.
All this is happening at the end of the cycle. Harvest time comes along, and harvest time is when everything comes to fruit. And we know from all the parables and different teachings in the Bible that, you know, that sometimes you have to wait till harvest time to figure out what you're really dealing with. But the point is that at harvest time, what comes forth is that at that time is an exact replica, reproduction of what was planted to begin with.
Yeah.
So we know that everything that happened in the Garden of Eden, all the different things that were planted there, both righteous and unrighteous, over here in the time of the book of Revelation, all those things come to fruit, and you should be able to tie them all the way back to that original seed that was planted. When Brother Branham talked about wanting to preach the sermon called The Trail of the Serpent, the beast at the beginning and the beast at the end through the trail of the serpent.
Right.
And the bride of Jesus Christ at this end time, she is seeing these things come to fruit. The revelation has dropped into her heart. She can see what she's looking at. She can go all the way to the beginning and say, this is where that come from. And let me show you how it passed all the way through scriptures to get here.
Yeah, man.
She sees it. She sees that other spirit in the framework of the church. And she's becoming that invincible army because all the tricks the devil used down through the ages, she's not falling for it anymore.
Right.
Because she's coming to this place of perfection. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So harvest time is when everything comes to fruit. So I've said this in many ways, but all these things coming out of the closet now, the things that used to be hid, but now they're out on the street demanding it, they're coming to fruit. They have to. We found Sodom in the book of Genesis. So it's got to be here now.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So all these things, when we know that that beast in Revelation 13, the first one, or the second beast, excuse me, being the United States, coming up out of the earth, where there wasn't a lot of peoples, a lot of water represents people, and how that it had two horns like a lamb, and it was born by religious freedom, and has civil and ecclesiastical powers. That was the two horns that was on that beast. But then it began to speak as a dragon. Now you realize, I don't care what the United States looks like. I don't care what they were formed by. I appreciate what they were formed by. But the time comes when they have to begin to speak like a dragon.
Yeah, right.
They have to begin to move in the direction to form an image like to the first beast.
That's right.
Which was the Roman system that brought a forced thing upon the believers and martyred people because they wouldn't come to their way of belief. There's another system coming into play now, and this government here in this nation is behind it, along with the Catholic Church. You understand how that is. And they're going to bring this thing. And so all I'm just trying to say is that if we can't look out there and see those things coming to fruit, then we're not where we think we are. But we are where we think we are. We're at harvest time, and all these things are coming forth. And even Jesus said, when you see the fig tree, which is Israel, when you see them begin to put forth buds, right?
Yeah.
And he says, and all the trees putting forth, then you know summer's at hand. If summer's at hand, then the harvest is on its way.
Right.
See? So that's what he's saying. So when you see Israel pull forth his buds, Well, when Israel begins to become and manifest what they really are, and what they are is a people restored back to their national homeland, and God's getting ready to move.
Yeah, right.
And the Gentiles are going to be shut out. So you see that moving. That's why we say that Israel going back to the homeland is one of the greatest signs of the time. Because we see them putting forth their buds. But while that's happening, we see all these other nations and all these other regimes and spirits begin to flex their muscles and show openly what their desires are.
Yeah.
Even if it means annihilating Israel. Even if it means getting rid of Christian, true Christianity.
Yeah.
So they have to show these things, and it would behoove us to open our eyes, look at that, see the hour we live in, and know that things are upon us now, because that's what's going to happen. And so the word is right. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
The word is right on this. So it's harvest time. And so the bride has to come to harvest. Remember, Brother Branham, and I think it was Spoken Word, Original Seed, where he talks about the three seeds that were sown. He said that Billy Graham had sown the seed to the nominal church world, his message. He said Oral Roberts had sown his message, the seed of his message, to the Pentecostal movement. So you had the nominal church world, and you had the Pentecostal, which represented those of the Laodicean hour, the underneath the Laodicean church age.
Yep.
And so you had those two groups, and then Brother Branham said, and then the word has been sown. He never, but we know who sowed the word.
Yep.
A prophet did.
Right.
Now, and he said that, and he talks about in there how that seed's going to bring forth and it'll produce. And so what I'm saying is, now those seeds were sown back in the 50s and 60s. See, those things were sown then when those guys' ministries were out there. Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Brother Branham's ministry was out there.
Yeah.
Okay? And so you have to realize the seed that Brother Branham was sowing was not his own ministry. It was the word being sown, whereas these other guys were sowing ministries and movements of their own making, because you understand what I'm saying? They weren't the voice of the prophet of the hour. They were prophets.
Right.
But those seeds were sown, and at some point, a generation later, guess what? You got those seeds have to come up, and they have to come to fruit and manifest the fullness in a harvest form of what was sown, right?
Yeah.
So in the natural, you see that Billy Graham's son is now the spokesman for that movement. Because
yeah.
His physical seed came forth and is the spokesman for that movement.
Yeah.
But all that's saying is that spirit of that belief system and that nominal thing, not on fire for God, but a nominal thing, that seed was sown, and all we can say is that there's a whole bunch more out there that's the fruit of that very ministry it was being sown. So that son of that seed being sown, that manifestation of that son is there.
Yeah.
Right? And in the natural. And so you find out the same thing with Oral Roberts. He gave his ministry over to his son. And we see what that movement has become. That movement has become the one that went to Rome the other day.
Yeah.
And signed up. That's the movement, see?
Right.
But if those are coming to fruit, then we have to realize then the word is coming to its fullness.
Yeah.
The word is coming to its power right now. That son of that word is going to be manifested.
Right.
So that's what we have to just to take it that way. And you know, we look around and say, well, intellectually I see that, and I intellectually I understand what Brother Tony's saying here. But the devil doesn't want you to believe that movement is actually in you right now. That's what's coming forth in you. And so we want to kind of remember that as we talk about these things. So it's harvest time. Now in the parables of the wise and foolish virgins, the wise virgins there, the whole gist of that particular story there is to tell that God was going to have a bride. He was going to come for her at midnight. Cry was going to be given forth. Bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And I capitalized on that quite often. Go ye out to meet him. Didn't say he was going to come all the way to where you were, but go ye out to meet him.
Right.
And the point is there is that this church that was set aside to be the bride of Christ, who was supposed to be watching and waiting and preparing, so that when that cry made, she could respond to that cry. It was not enough that she just be set aside and be a virgin. It was not enough that she just had a little bit of oil. She had to have had some extra to go with it, you understand? She had to have enough of the Spirit and the life of God to get her through the night. To get her through this thing. So she had to be well prepared. And so the story shows that there were some who weren't prepared. There were some who were set aside. They were dedicated. And they even heard their midnight cry. But they had not prepared and were not able to go. And so the whole thing is that what do we need? Well, the bridegroom needs a wife. That's what we need. Right? And so here's a process to get that wife to him, but not just anybody can be wife. It has to be someone who goes through these processes properly. And so she was able to rise up, and she was able to go meet him at his coming.
Yeah.
And because she was able to do that, she was able to enter in behind the door into the marriage. The door was shut, and the others were left out and didn't make it in. That going behind that door, being the marriage, being the consummation of the marriage, what takes place behind there, and you can think of it in the natural, but I just want to kind of, so you understand what I'm saying, what takes place behind there is a body change.
Yeah.
What takes place back there is a quickening and a changing, and so you've got to enter into that before you can go on a rapture. Yeah. You've got to enter into that place where you are the bride of Christ, consummated with him, married to him, and the union is invisible.
Yeah.
It's an invisible union. You're not going to see it with your natural eye, but it takes place, and it's here right now. And when we go away in a rapture, we're going away to the marriage supper. We have to enter in behind that door, and that's the whole concept.
Yeah.
So what good would it do if he took him a wife and even entered in behind the door if she was not mature? If she was a little girl?
Yeah.
In other words, if she wasn't able to fully measure up to what's needed here. What is he looking for? He's looking for a wife. Why does he need a wife? Because he needs a helpmate. Helpmeet. Someone help him be what he needs to be. Help him reproduce himself. Someone that can be a companion to him. So God's looking for someone who can meet all these criteria. He's looking for someone who can be a companion to him.
Right.
A companion. What? A companion to the Word. Someone who can be, that the Word can fellowship with. That a Word could lay down at night and be happy to be there and be bound in union to this one. That's what it's supposed to be. Someone who could be bound and he's happy to be sewn up in this union with this one. Why? Because this one's the Word also. It's in agreement with him because there's a fellowship there. And so that was what he was looking for. So the perfection in that story would have been someone who could actually rise up, meet the occasion, successfully get there and be mature and could actually give him the needs that he has there as bridegroom looking for a wife. Everybody follow me so far? So that's the perfection we're talking about. The bride has to come to a place where she can meet every requirement of the Word. Every requirement of her bridegroom, what he needs, she's got to rise to that place where she can supply all those needs. And that means that she's got to be someone who can fellowship with him.
Right.
She's got to be in agreement with him, the Word. So when he says there's a serpent seed, she believes it and is willing to fellowship and enter into fellowship of the Word with him that there is a serpent seed. There is one God. Hell is not eternal. See, these are all mysteries that were there, but they're in the Bible.
Right.
And it's this message that has brought them out. And now that you see them, they're all over the Bible.
Right.
She's got to be able to fellowship with him on these things, on these attributes. And not just believe it with head knowledge, but it has to transform her life so her whole life is conducted according to that unity of that Word.
Right.
That's what the perfection is. Like I mentioned the other night about the eagles. And those that were here Wednesday night, you forgive me if I bore you just a little bit. But you know, the eagles eat meat. They don't drink milk. Baby eagles don't drink milk. They eat meat.
Right.
And you know, through the New Testament, through the seven church ages, the anointing of the Holy Ghost coming down upon the church, and it's the same Holy Ghost, but he anointed the church, early church, to have this the lion of the tribe of Judah, that anointing upon him, so they would carry out the work of a lion.
Yep.
And then he moved, that same Holy Ghost poured out on a church a little bit later, the New Testament church, to be the ox, which was a sacrifice, so they would meet the need for the hour to be martyred in the dark ages. Still the Spirit of God moving and causing them to do that, because that early church was a seed being sown, and it had to go in the ground and die through the dark ages so that it could come forth in a plant of the wheat of God and actually come to fruit again at harvest time, which is where we're at now.
Yeah.
So all that had to be there. And so, but the lion, and it was the ox, and then he quickened them, the Holy Ghost quickened the church with the intellect of man to produce the printing presses, to stand there, and Luther and Wesley in their day, and make a stand against the Catholic Church that they did, and they got by with it because they were anointed of God to do it. But the scripture said the last one was a flying eagle.
Yeah.
Eagle's prophetic. God likens himself to eagles. Very clear. Moses was an eagle. He bore the children of Israel out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Brought Moses down there. Moses took him out because he was a prophet. So the Bible declares what an eagle is. It's prophetic. And so we find out that through all the seven church ages, we had the lion, the ox, the man, but now we end up at the end time as an eagle.
Yeah.
And all those other beasts are earthly. But this one can go to take to the sky. And all of them feed their babies milk, but not the eagles. Eagles, their diet is meat. Their diet, let's go ahead and go even further. Their diet is fresh kill. Their diet is not rotten maggot meat on the roadside like the buzzard, see? Their diet is fresh kill, fresh given revelation of the hour. Because that's our food. That's our food that we eat is the word. So it's fresh given word that they must feed on. They can't feed on a past revival of a past day. Even if it was a move of God, they can't get strength from it in this hour because it's not their diet.
Yeah.
Their diet must be fresh revelation of the day.
Yeah.
So what I was pointing out there Wednesday night was that you find out that even though the church had the spirit of the lion, of the ox, and the man upon him, now the church, the bride, has an anointing of an eagle. And in this hour, the requirement is that we don't feed our babies and we don't sit around and drink milk all the time.
Yeah.
The requirement now is that we eat meat, and that's different than previous ages. So what I was pointing out Wednesday night was that there's something different about the diet in this hour that true Christians have in this hour that's different than what true Christians had in previous ages.
Yeah.
It's all strength. It's all nourishment. But in this hour, it comes to the place where it is strong. It's meat. And so we were talking about how the eagles, you know, that little baby eaglet or whatever, they're sitting there and they're ordained to take the sky,
yeah,
to fly. But they have to grow in strength, and their wings and their feathers and everything have to get to the place where they can fly. And so all that development, that true development of that eagle, is not done while drinking milk.
Yeah.
That development is done by eating meat.
Yeah.
Fresh meat, fresh kill, fresh revelation.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that are going to strengthen this church so that she can spread her wings and take a rapture.
Yeah.
It has to be fresh, modern day, revealed word of God. Now is what it has to be in order for us to be able to have the strength that we need in this hour that we can take a rapture in this hour.
Amen.
And this is the ordained move of God of this hour. Eagles.
Yeah.
Two wings. Rise up. Old Testament truths. New Testament truths. The whole word of God, we can take that and just flop it out there and send it in the presence of God, and it'll pack us away.
Yeah.
Because the Old Testament's right and the New Testament's right. See? There's different ways you can point that, but it's prophetic. It's a prophetic movement of God that brought these things forth. So these eagles, they eat this meat, and you see the little eagle over there, and you see they're getting stronger, and they're building up strength, and they're getting bigger, and they begin to put their wings out, and they're checking their feathers, and they're testing them. And I mentioned the other night, I said, you know, if you could watch that eagle, and you could see him over there, he could begin to move his wings around a little bit. And you look at him, and you say, you know what? He has no intention of staying in that nest.
Yeah.
Look at him. Every day when I look at him, he's wiggling his wings a little bit more, and he's testing them out, and he gets a little bit up. And every time I look at him, he's exercising himself a little bit more. He intends to leave someday. He's not sitting there like this all the time.
Yep.
He plans on leaving.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's the point is, so because the scripture said, go ye out to meet him.
Right.
This eagle has got to come to the place where they can do exactly what the prophet said in his story, that eagle jumped out there and flopped, made one flop and set his wings, and the wind just packed him plumb out. He said he was just a speck last time he could see him. Because he didn't have to do nothing but just believe in the God-given gift that had been developed while he fed on the meat. He just threw him out there, and it packed him away. Rapture will be an easy thing for those, right? Because we believe it, right? So that's what we were talking about the other night. And so, but what I want to emphasize on that it was, in my example there, it was by reason of the use of their wings, of their testing and trying and their exercising by the using and the testing of their wings, that's how they got ready. That's how they got ready. They continued to eat that meat, continued to do those things that they needed to do, strengthening themselves, and they didn't all of a sudden just one day say, okay, I'm gonna fly now, having never put my wings out and go out there and jump off.
Yeah.
It don't work. They tested it. They tested their strength. They began to realize, you know what? I truly do have a gift of God in my life. I really do. He really is moving me and making me able that I'm going to be able to leave here one of these days. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Now, we don't sit around and think, you know what? Brother Tony, Brother Danny, we don't sit around and talk to ourselves, man, I'm ready. I really, you know, it doesn't happen that way. You know, we don't sit around and think that. But my point is that we should be. We should be realizing that this move of God who's been feeding us meat, he's given us wings.
Yes,
and we want to test those wings. We want to put those things out there and start having many raptures. M-I-N-I, small raptures. We want to set them wings out there and we want to sail up away from the things of the earth often. Just, you know, and that's actually, if you ever watch it, them eagles that get out there and sometimes they'll flop and they'll get up off just a little bit and then they'll come back down again. How many's ever seen that?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? We got to prepare where there's something we have to do. We have to get up and go out and meet him. We have to put these wings out. We begin. There's something for the bride to do where she comes into that perfection. Because it's not good enough for her just to be set aside. Not good enough for this or for that. She's got to be able to meet every requirement.
Right.
And when she meets every requirement, when she comes to that place where she can meet every requirement, she's reached a point of perfection. Perfection means we're not saying she'll never make a mistake. What we mean by perfection is completion. Everything that was supposed to take place with her to get her ready for what she's going to, she has been completed.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? So you take a child, somebody go through school and they actually get to high school and they graduate high school. Once they pass that final test and they graduate, they're perfect. Well, they make mistakes, but they've perfectly fulfilled the process. Now they're ready to go into the world and do what else, see? And that's the concept I want to show you there, that her perfection, we're not talking about that we never make mistakes, we never, you know, what we're talking about is coming to a place in the revelation of God's word about who we are, do we realize that God's got this thing all worked out for us.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is just keep ourselves committed to his word, and he'll take care of the rest. So let's just talk about this for a little bit. That eagle has to eat meat. That's where he gets his strength. That's the anointing that's on us in this hour. So let's talk about this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll ask you, what is meat? And I'm going to show you what the scripture says meat is, okay? And so now this is Hebrews, where Paul was talking to the Hebrews. You know, he wrote to the Galatians. He wrote to the Romans and all that. I would think that the Hebrews, that he should be able to tell them whatever they needed. He needed to tell them because they were the Hebrews, and Hebrews were the children of Israel. So you would think he'd be able to say anything in the world to them, pull anything out of the gospel, anything out there, and give it to them because they were the Hebrews, and it was all about their customs and types and shadows that brought Christ Jesus. So he's talking to the Hebrews, and he's mentioning the fact that Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. And so we come in right here, he says, called of God, speaking of Jesus, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, wasn't that Paul couldn't share it? He said, it's hard for me to utter these things to you because you're dull of hearing.
Yeah.
I'd really like to give you the full shebang, but I can't because you're dull of hearing. Look what he says. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And he says, you know what? You should be to the place where you could even be teaching people this stuff. You could be sharing this stuff. But you're not. You are still in need of milk. This is what he's saying. You're still in need of milk and not strong meat. So he's showing you that to come to full revelation, to come to the deeper things of God, is to feast on the meat.
Right.
But if you can't come to that, it's because you're still a babe and you need milk. He goes on to the next verse. He said, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, you know, I heard Brother Claude say this, and Brother Claude is, he's kind of like a file. He can rasp, you know, and cut. But that's fine, because he needs to be. There needs to be that. But, and he's right. He said, you know, that you got all these ministers, a bunch of ministers, pastors, and they'll tell you, some of them will tell you, he said, they've actually told me, I can't teach. I can't put it together. I don't know how to teach anything. And he said, you don't need to be in the pulpit then. See, because your ministry, as we'll show you in a little bit, your ministry, that's the very job, is to bring the bride of Christ up to that place of perfection. And see, so he says, everyone uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age.
Right.
Fully mature, right? Full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So look what he's showing you here is to come to maturity means you've got to eat meat. And if you can't eat the meat, you're a babe. You're eating milk. But if you're coming to the place where you can eat meat, now you're coming into the place where even you can teach, because now you are feasting on the deep things of God.
Right.
Right? And since it's an eagle, it's modern day, fresh killed, deep things of God. That's the eagle, see? And so that's the one. But he said, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised. So when I was talking about the eagle flapping its wings, let's shift that over into our senses, into our ability. You have to exercise to be Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
You can't lay around for a month and then jump out and go out the door and hit a foot race and win. You can't do it. So you have to exercise. This has got to be something you work with constantly, all the time. Brother Daniel can tell you all about this. In order to be ready, that's why a preacher should be instant, in season, out of season. He should be ready. He can't be ready when he's sitting around with his mind off of God all the time.
Right.
See? And so every true minister that I know, he's constantly thinking about the things of God. Just all the time. That's what's going through his mind and through his spirit. And so he equates this to the fact that a person who is able, this is also a person who's familiar with exercising their senses. And he says, and he brings it in this. A person who's eating meat can discern between good and evil.
Right.
A person who eats meat is able to know good from bad and right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So this is eagle time. Right. Everybody's still with me. This is eagle time. We're eating meat. We should be able to discern right from wrong. We should be able to know what's right and wrong and what's good and bad and evil and all that. See? We should be able to rightly divide the word of truth and know what's what in this hour because we're eating meat. We're eagles. We're ready to fly. And so that's what he tells us there. So in this hour, where it's eagle time, it's time to fly, and this hour, when everything is turning gray, there's no more black is black and white is white. It's all gray. Everything's got to be politically correct. You got to be careful what you say. And all this hour, God is still calling his people to be able to discern right, from wrong, good from bad, rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
So I don't care what the world does, God's still got a people he's calling to perfection.
Amen.
Because you know what? She's going to rule with him.
That's right.
And he's not going to take something there that's not fit to rule. So if you really just think about it, like when we talk about my grandma Cannon and stuff like that, and she'd boil and she'd get all that good stuff inside, and she'd get all the impurities out of it, and while she had it in that state where all that impurities were gone, she'd cap it off with a seal.
Yeah.
And then preserve it. This is what we're talking about. God getting us to a place where he can cap us off, where he's got all the right things in our experience that he can seal us up and just take us right over and put us in that dimension, and there won't be anything in us that will offend in that dimension.
Amen.
There won't be anything over there in us that's not fit to rule. But he's got to get that way here.
Yeah.
Got to get it that way here before we go there. So you see, strong meat is coming to full revelation and able to rightly divide, able to judge, able to sit on that throne with him. Everybody follow me on that? That's what it says. See, that's, so we'll go on to the next, if there is more. I can't remember how many verses I had on that, but anyway, that was it. 14, discern both good and evil. Amen? Am I still with the word?
Yes.
All right. This is what we want. So that's what meat is. And for us in this hour, we've got a diet that consists of meat, not just milk. So he says in here, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. This is going to the next verse. It's just another chapter. And so he says, you know, you should have strong meat, be able to discern good from right from wrong, good from evil, and all that. So then he says, therefore, now that I've said that, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, I know this is a heavy teaching this morning, but I want you to understand this very clearly. Let us go on to perfection. But how is it that you're going to go on to perfection? It's when you're able to leave the principles of the doctrine. In other words, not to defect from them and not use them. Well, what he's saying is if you're all the time, all you can grasp is just the principles. If all you can understand is just the basic principles of Christianity, you'll never go to perfection. You'll never go to rule. You'll never be an eagle and fly if you stay back here just at the principles.
Right.
Now listen, I've been going to church. I'm not bragging nothing, okay? That's what I'm saying. But I've got some time in church history in the last 20-some-odd years. And I've seen it, even message churches. People that never grow year after year after year are the same ones that have to repent and repent and go to the altar. And there's nothing wrong with coming up for prayer if you have need. I'm not trying to say that. But they just keep on and they never grow. They just stay right there. And 20 years later, they're still trying to comprehend baptism. They're still trying to comprehend these things that are relatively simple. You know what I'm saying? And so he says here, leaving the principles. Right? Leaving those principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now he talks about what those principles are. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So there's one of those things that people just continually just can't quite grasp it. They're always having to be taught about this, about repentance and coming from dead works and all those things. That's all they can rise up from. Okay? And of the doctrine of baptisms, they can't even properly understand baptism. You got to go beyond that. And of laying on hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit.
Yeah.
Okay, so Paul is basically, he's saying it very clearly there. He says, look, you Hebrews, you should be able to handle strong meat. You should be teachers, but you're not. I'd like to tell you a whole lot more about Melchizedek, but I can't. But there is a people at the end time he can tell more about Melchizedek, right? I love the way the word brings it all down to where it's at now. See? But he says, I'd like to be able to. And so, you've got to come to a place where you can eat meat and you'll be a good discerner of right and wrong and good and evil. And because of this principle, We've got to leave these things and go on into perfection. We can't sit here and lay this foundation over and over and over, because we're never going to get you in a rapture if you can't rise up above just those foundational things. Okay? This is what the end time ministry, this is what the ministry was sent to do to begin with, but this bride at the end time is the age when she actually rises up above all those foundational things and comes to perfection. So, Christ comes for a woman that is fully developed, fully mature, able to take these responsibilities of being married to him, able to be his helpmeet, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, able to give birth. Able to give birth to his children. Now, how many members, Brother Bram talks about Abraham and Sarah, and he said Abraham and Sarah could not receive that promised son in these bodies, in the bodies they had. They had had body change. See? And so what we're showing here is there has to be a change in a people. If they're going to manifest this promised Son of God, they've got to be a change in them. They've got to be caught up and raptured and to manifest this fullness of God. It's all in the vortex of this that we're talking about, coming to this place. And so she has to be able to give birth, reproduce him. Now, in the stature of a perfect man, we're hitting this from different angles, but these are all angles that most of you are familiar with, but I want to tie them all together. Stature of a perfect man. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read this, and then I'll comment on it. Maybe I'll comment as I go. This is a scripture Brother Branham read in that sermon called Stature of a Perfect Man. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior in Jesus Christ. Have you obtained that? Amen. Right? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look at that. Okay? He has given us these things to pertain to life. Right?
Right.
He has given us. He has blessed us with all things that pertain to this.
Right.
He's not held back anything from us, right? Everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Okay? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So he's given us promises of something, okay? He's given us promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence. So he's already talked about how that, okay, we're on the foundation of faith, and he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and unto knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Let's hold it right there. So, seven church ages, right? You got a foundation of faith. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, capstone of love. So he's actually showing seven church ages, but he's speaking about the individual. That you as an individual coming into faith, you've got to leave just the principles of those foundational things, and you've got to come up in more steps to the place where you need to come to perfection.
Yeah.
So he says here you have to add to your faith the virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then you arrive at this charity or love. And what I want to show you is that arriving at that charity and that love, that's the hour, that's the thing God's doing in you right now. Because we've come through seven church ages, but he wants each one of us to grow in the stature of Jesus Christ. Grow in the virtue of Jesus Christ. So add to your faith virtue, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? Temperance of Jesus Christ. All these virtues of his character by these promises he's given us, we can take this and be partakers of his divine nature.
Amen.
So we have to add this. And he's saying, he's telling us, you add to this. So we need to seek God for virtue and knowledge, godly knowledge and temperance and all those things. We need to seek those kinds of things that come from God, that is His nature, and add those to our experience so that we express those things in our Christian walk.
Amen.
Right? And when you come to that place where you've added all these virtues, you come to that top, that capstone, which is love, Christ Himself. That's when we become one with Him. That's when the church ages actually become the united bride of Jesus Christ. When that comes, and that's when we as individuals in our experience come to that unity of Jesus Christ. And this is the hour that He's calling us to that, because He didn't call them to it in previous hours. But we are now, because we're in eagle time, He's calling us to that full perfection. This is the only hour that we could work ourselves all the way up to that top, because it's been revealed to us now. But again, as she had to go out to meet Him, and as the eagle has to practice her wings, here it is, we see this right here. We have to add to it.
Yeah.
He didn't say, now God's going to add to it. He says, you add to it, right? So add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love or charity. So I know that's not new to most of you, but I want to bring that in there to show you the next verse. For if these things be in you, and abound. What do we got to get the bride to? We got to get her to the place where she can birth.
That's right.
Look what this says. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we going to sit over there and rule without any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, we're talking, it sounds like we're birthing. And we are His life, but the birth of that, primarily what it is in the understanding, the ability to judge right from wrong, good from bad, those things. Coming to a place where we have that kind of revelation so that we're not unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can actually bear fruit to God, meaning right judgment, right decision making, right kind of living. The ability to sit there and rule and reign with Him and judge angels. That's what He's talking about. So we will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. It gets a little bit touchy here. But he that lacketh these things is blind. What happened to Laodicea when they didn't come to the message that God gave them? Right? They're blind and cannot see afar off. Eagles can see really far off. Do you see the contrast? So they're blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Yeah.
They don't even have. In the day when God is expressing this and saying, my call is to come up eagles. I'm giving you what it takes to be eagles. And they turn around and walk away from that. They don't even understand what they did have. They don't even understand that they were purged from their old sins. They've lost what they... You understand what I'm saying? If you don't come higher in God, you go back. If you don't come forward, you're backing up. If you don't leave service better, you leave service further away.
That's right.
See it? So in this hour, he's calling them, and there he says it. They cannot see afar and have forgotten. If you lack these things, you have forgotten. And I know that sounds somewhat condemnation to us, but we're saying ultimately, when this age is done and it's all over and done with, if we haven't got these things, it's because we went back on God. And in that hour, that's what's going to be said about us. When this thing is done and he's got a glorious bride sitting there, someone who didn't come through this method has gone back from God. They don't even understand what they did have and that they were purged from their old sins. They didn't understand that completely. I think if a person truly understands that they were forgiven of their sins, there's a lot of thankfulness that goes forth to show that.
Yeah.
Because whose sins are more, then they're happier. You know, the parable behind that. So, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall what? Never fall. We're talking about the grounds we want to be on right there.
Amen.
We want to come to that place where in our experience, we never fall. You know what? We fall all the time making mistakes, but God's got a place where when we reach that,
yeah,
we're never going to fall. Because this is the hour we receive a body change. This is the hour that he's going to minister to us. Why? Because we've come to that place of perfection. He's going to minister to us, capping off of all that good stuff that he's got in us, take us right over into that dimension. So let's go to the next verse. You shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he even says it right there. When you reach that point, God will minister that body change to you. You will be ushered right into that. So it's at the end of the ages. So there it is again. But all of these things talking about with the bride coming to perfection, all of these things are pointing to the fact that she comes to that place where she's just like him. Same life, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, standing there in the glory of him, as the quote said, standing there just all him right there in his word being manifested there. As he said, she's going to stand there in the splendor of him, his word made manifest. Amen. And so I said a little while ago, the fivefold ministry, that's what their job is to do. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read that real quick. I'm just almost done. This has been a lot smoother than I thought. It was going to take a long time to get through all these scriptures. So Paul is saying, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Wherefore, he saith, he ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Let me tell you something he's sharing here. Paul's pointing out here. He said, God has poured out his grace upon you, and he's given gifts. And he said, but first, before he sent back gifts to you, he had to ascend up and send those gifts back in the form of the Holy Ghost, right? So he sent up, sent back the Holy Ghost, said, I can't send that back until I do go. I have to go so the Comforter can come, right? Yeah. So he had to ascend up so he could send back the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, right? He said, but wait a minute, I want to make sure you understand this. I'm amplifying this for you. This fellow that ascended up, that's sending back these gifts, I want you to know how good these gifts are. So let me tell you how good they are by telling you about the one that gave them. This one who ascended up first, he's the one that ascended into the lower parts of the earth. He went down to hell, and then he that descended is the one who also ascended.
Yeah.
That's what Paul's saying there.
Yeah.
So what he's trying to tell us is that this one who sent back these gifts so that you might know how these gifts work and how good they are, this one that sent them is the one who had conquered over death, hell, and the grave. This is the one who sent these back. This is what he's trying to say. This is the one that sent it. And so when he sent those gifts back, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. We call that the fivefold ministry. What are their job? What is the fivefold ministry's job? For the perfecting of the saints. So it is scriptural that God's going to have a people come to perfection. He sent ministry back here that is absolutely from him. Yep. And these are gifts that will work to get this done because they come from him.
Right.
And these gifts will bring the saints to perfection. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not the destroying, not the tearing down, but for the edifying of the body of Christ. They're here. These five old ministry are here. This is what their purpose is for. And they're here till we all come to the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Didn't we just talk about something about the knowledge? Not being unfruitful?
Right.
They're going to bring us to this place where we are fruitful in the knowledge of God, right? So that they, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these fivefold ministries' job is to bring that church to that place of perfection. And when that church comes to that place of perfection, they're standing there in all the attributes of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Go back to that. I want to make sure we got that clear. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If Christ is this tall and I'm like this, I'm not to his stature yet.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But the fivefold ministry and through the ages, especially here at the end, we're to come to where it's right there.
Yeah.
Full stature. And we're not talking about somebody just the same height as Jesus Christ. We're talking about coming to where we are Jesus Christ in bride form. That he, that one seed that was sown into the ground, comes forth in a many-membered body. Same life as his life. Same gene in us that was in him. Same ability to never fail like he never failed, because he's brought us to that.
Yeah.
We don't have it in ourselves, but brother, sister, if he takes you and redeems you and says, now you've got it, then you've got it.
Amen.
So it's his word and it's his program. People will say, who do you make yourself? I don't know. All I'm saying what he's saying. I don't see my perfection in myself, but I see that he's bringing me to perfection. He's bringing you to perfection because we believe that he says he's doing that. And because we can see his working in us, bringing us to that. And so, let's go on to the next verse. This is the end result. Bringing us to perfection. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. No more children on the milk. No more people tossed to and fro because they don't know right from wrong.
Right.
Right? So they're to bring us, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Well, it blows this way, so I'll believe this way for a while. No, now it's blowing this way, I'll believe that way now.
Yep. Right.
To bring us to a place where it don't make no difference which way the wind blows, we're standing right there on the word and know who we are and know what this is about.
That's right.
That's what this is talking about. And so we won't be carried away by every wind of doctrine at the sight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, when people lie in wait to deceive you, they've got an agenda.
Right.
And it usually means you suffer and they benefit.
That's right.
Users and abusers, and this world is full of them, and even in ministry.
Right.
Users and abusers. Amen. Is there another verse there? But speaking the truth in love, we're not going to be tossed around anymore. We're going to stand there and speak the truth in love. Why? Because we've come to the stature of that love.
Yeah.
Stand there speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're growing, that body's being developed until we grow up right into where we go and grow into, up into the head. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's just hold that right there for a second. To the edifying. So he says we're going to grow up into that head where we are the fullness. And the head, that's where the brain is, and that's the control center. Right? That's the control center. He said, from that control center, the whole body, from that head, Christ, the control center, which we've grown into now, yep. See? From that, the whole body is fitly joined together. How's he going to go back and bring up all of them past saints of past ages and place them where they belong in that city? Right? How's he going to go back and grab and fitly join all the members of the body together and in the revelation show who they are and where they come from and how they fit in the body and what this whole thing was all about?
Yeah.
You see, this revelation comes forth in this time and it reaches back and has brought all these things to us.
Right.
We know who the body of Christ was. We know Luther and how it was in the legs and all the way up. And now it's past the seeing age into the intellect age. We know it came through tongues. Pentecost,
right.
And then a prophet, a seer. And after that, now what do you have? You have a church that's got the full revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where we've come to, see? And so here we are. That ministry was to bring us to this place, to that full stature of Christ, where now we have the understanding of God, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's from that he can go back and he can show you. The whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by every joint, supplied according to effectual working the measure of every part, making increaseth the body unto the edifying of itself. This body knows how to edify itself.
Right.
Every member of your body does something. Your pancreas does something. Your heart does something. Your brain does something. Every bit of this body has something in it that takes care, and all together it knows how to bring edification of itself, healing to itself, growing and strengthening and processing the foods and all that. It knows how to do all that, see? But now he's talking about the body of Christ. And it all comes from his intelligence. But he's got a people who have grown to that place where by revelation they understand this. They rightly discern the Lord's body. You think about communion. And it says many people are sick and weak and sickly, and some of them are gone to sleep because they didn't discern the Lord's body. But if you want a people that truly discern the Lord's body, you're talking about a people with this revelation we're talking about this morning.
Yeah.
That's a people that truly understands what the body of the Lord is.
Yeah.
That's a people that can come into true communion. Because look what he says. If you want to come into communion of God, you better understand the body before you do it, because you might bring damnation on yourself if you try to come into it not knowing, not understanding what is the body. Well, if you understand the body, you know how to treat the body. You know how to help the body. And as it helps you, you know how all this works together. Why? Because now you've come into unity with the knowledge of Christ who orchestrates all this. So if I'm a heart and I come to the full revelation of the intellect, I'll know what I'm supposed to do. And I won't be backsliding on it. I won't be trying to be a liver.
Right.
And my feet will be what they're supposed to be. Why? Because now they're in tune with the head. So this is really just a description about the church coming to a place where they're no longer paralyzed. No longer have members that aren't answering to the brain. They're coming to a place where every member and everything responds and works in unity with the fullness of the knowledge of God. That's the body of Christ. Not some deformed something. I heard it's a precious brother, not even a message, but he may not be here now. He's probably gone. He's older. Ralph Aliano from New Jersey. And I spent the night there in his home, and he gave an example, and it just stuck with me so much. And he said, you know, when you see somebody coming down the street, and he said, you know, how do you identify, or how do you, when you see him and you meet him and you shake their hand, you get to know him, whatever, and you go away and you think about him, you're thinking about that person, what they look like, their head, who they are. He said, but if you meet someone and their body is all, and they're doing this, and you meet this person, and you shake their hand, and it's awkward and everything, when you go away, what do you think of? You're not thinking about that person's face. You're thinking about that mangled body.
Yeah.
And that's right. As long as the church is mangled and not doing what the Word says do,
right.
Then when everybody go away, all they can fix on is that body that's in that shape.
That's right.
But the minute we come to that place where everything is responding like it's supposed to, yeah, they'll see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And not some body that's not responding.
Right.
They'll see him in his fullness. Saints, that's what I want.
Amen.
I don't want them to see me. You know what? I don't want to stand here. I don't want to be the one responsible to stand here and tell you how to make it. That's why I want him to say it.
Yeah.
You see what I don't want that burden on my shoulder, because I'm not good enough. See, it's got to come from him to tell you what's right and wrong on how to make it. See, so it's got to go back to that head where the body is in full swing with the head. And so it knows how to edify itself in love. You believe that?
Yeah.
And so I'll end it by here. The other scripture there, I'll go ahead and read it. She'll bring it up, Ephesians 5:23. He will have that perfect bride. So Paul is saying, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, let the church be subject to Christ. And therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, and Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, this is what he set out to do. I just happen to believe that he's going to do what he set out to do. I believe that. But by no form or no fashion will she be someone who is not in unity with him. I think I said one of the recent services, how much was Jesus not in tune with the Father? He was one with the Father because everything the Father wanted done, he did. And if the Father didn't want to do it, he didn't do it. He was in unity. This bride comes to the same place. When the Word speaks, she speaks. When the Word's silent, she's silent. And it don't make no difference there if there is some denominational church that wants to try and capitalize on that phrase and say, we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where it's silent, because they're not. They're not in unity with it. But God does have a church that speaks where the Bible speaks and it's silent where the Bible's silent. And so the Bible speaks right now, and the Bible says we're evil time. And that's why your ministry tells you it's eagle time. The Bible says that he's going to give you strong meat and you're going to be able to handle it. That's why we want to give you strong meat so you can handle it. It's going to give you the strength to have a body change. That's why, so we're going to, it's what it says. So we're going to share that with you, see? And so no matter how you slice it, it comes out to this place where God's bringing a church to perfection. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. I do. There's a song, I don't know if Brother Tim knows it, it comes to mind right now, it's just as I said that. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle or whatever. If he knows that, he can come and sing that for us. Otherwise, if he can't, we'll find something else. But, amen. Just let the musicians go ahead and come. You know that song, brother? Sort of.
I can hear the first line in my head. Glorious church.
Washed in the blood, or something like that. Anyway, does anybody else know it? I think my daughter does because she's smiling back there. Maybe she wants to come up and do it. All right. No, God is good to us. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him for a prayer as Brother Tim gets a song. Our precious Heavenly Father, this morning as we come to the end of this service, what a thank you, Lord, for being able to express this morning the thought that was on our heart, that your Holy Spirit would you'd be gracious enough, Lord, to us to come and just anoint this service and let these things come forth, Lord, with the joy of our heart. And Lord, we don't claim in any way in ourselves to be able to do these things, but we certainly just depend on you, and we're thankful, Lord, that you were able to come and feed your sheep. You feed me as you do it too, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. We pray, God, that you would help each one just absorb these things. And may they do like the ones in this scripture there. They search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. We want, Lord, the people to know that this message we share right now, it goes right back to the Word. And the Word has got to agree with it or it's wrong. And we know it does agree with it, Lord. So that's why we're happy. And then we see your Holy Spirit come and quicken and do things to go right along with it to further it. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this little group. Lord, each one here, each part of this body, each member of their place that they hold here, it's all dear to us, and we just love this little group. Pray that you would protect and keep them in every way, Lord, as they go from this place today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.
Out of order, so I'm with you. I'm
revelation, the final voice. You know, the Bible says this. You say, Brother Tony, where does it say that? You remember that the revelation of Jesus Christ comes to his bride at the end time. They see it, the rest of the world don't. It empowers her, right? And that revelation that comes to her is a seven-seal book that is open. Now, at one time in the scriptures, it was closed and no one could look on it. No one could take the book. Then the Lamb came and opened the book. And you know, John, when that cry went forth, said, who's worthy? John was standing there, right? Now, John types you and I. If you don't know what I mean by that, just hit me after church and I'll explain to you. But John types you and I, he types the end time church, end time bride. Right? John heard that voice. Who's worthy to open that book? And John had to say, you know what? I'm not worthy. I can't open it. So the end time church testified, you know what? I do not know the mystery of this revelation of Jesus Christ. I do not know it.
Yeah.
But the Lamb came and opened it. And then you find that book standing there open. And you hear it said, now John, go take that book. That book that you couldn't touch, that book you couldn't look on, that book that you couldn't read, and nobody else could. Now, John, now because the Lamb has done this end time ministry to reveal it, now you go take that book and you eat it. And John ate that book. And that scripture said, take it, it'll be sweet in your mouth but bitter in your belly. And John did. He took it. It was sweet in his mouth, and then when it went in his belly, it was bitter. But it said, now you must go and prophesy before all nations, kindred, tongue, people. Right? What I want to tell you is that John went forth and he did that. He went forth, that's the bride, going forth in this last day, taking this seven-sealed message, prophesying and speaking it. Right? Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Speaking it to all the nations, kindred, tongues, and people. The bride goes in the strength of that open book,
yes,
and prophesies and takes it to the world. So we are that final voice, because when you and I are raptured, there's not another Gentile going to be saved. It all goes to the Jews then. So the last voice that this world's going to hear, the world, not the Jews, the world, is what they're hearing right now. What they hear right now, the seventh seal. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.
We are the generation. We're the God.
Thank you.